Now shall we bow together in a word of prayer before we come to the reading of the Scriptures of truth. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the invitation of the gospel of Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you promised in your word that him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And our Father, we pray that as the word of life is proclaimed tonight, Lord, that there might be others even who will come and join this holy band and on to glory go. I would thank the Lord for the clear declaration of Scripture that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we pray, Lord, that even as the dying thief in the dying moments of his life cried out, Lord, remember me. Lord, that some precious soul or souls without Christ tonight, Lord, might find that saving grace that is found alone in Christ. So, Lord, bless now the reading of thy word. Give us preaching power. Hide us so far behind the cross that we'll see no man save Jesus only. So, Lord, undertake and bless us now for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now let's turn to the Word of God tonight for a scripture reading and invite you to open your Bible in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. That's a very lengthy chapter, but we're going to break in at the verse 36. Matthew chapter 26 and then the verse 36. And we read, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. He went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. While he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief people and elders of the people, from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they, and laid their hands on Jesus, and took him. We'll end our reading at verse 15. We know that God will bless the reading of his own word to all of our hearts. Now, in the four scriptures that we read together, we've read Matthew's account of the Garden of Gethsemane, experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember the word Gethsemane means the place of the oil press, of the place of crushing. And it was there that the olives were crushed and made into oil. And here we have the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God going through this dark, crushing experience in the Garden of Gethsemane when he had to wrestle with the awful cup that the Father had given to him as he was going now to be the Savior of the world. Now, as you read this story, you'll find that it is one like that of we read off in the book of Exodus, chapter 3. And you remember how that Moses, when he met with God at the burning bush, now that God said, "Take off the shoes from off thy feet, for the ground that thou standest upon is holy ground." And holy ground is ground that is sanctified by the presence of God. And I believe as we come and as we look into this chapter and we contemplate what the Lord Jesus went through in the Garden of Gethsemane, that we are upon holy ground, made holy by the blood and the sweat and the tears and the supplications of the Lord Jesus Christ ere he would go the way of the cross. Now, it's in this story that we have here also the sad betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ by Judas, one of our Lord's own disciples. Do you remember how that Judas earlier had gone to the chief priests and the scribes and had covenanted with them and made a bargain with them that he would betray the Lord Jesus Christ into their hands for the price of a slave, 30 pieces of silver. And of course we have here the story of how Judas went about this. And the sign that he was going to identify the Lord Jesus Christ was that he would single him out, that he would say, "Hail Master," and he would greet him with a kiss. You might wonder why that Judas had to kiss the Lord Jesus Christ on this occasion. And the reality is it was dark, it was at night, and one Jew looks exactly like another in a crowd in the darkness of the night. And so to ensure that no mistake would be made, Judas Iscariot agreed and said, "The sign that it is he will be the one that I kiss." And what a moment it must have been when Judas came into the garden and there he carried out his evil deed and he betrayed the Son of Man with a kiss. You'll find the text that I want to leave with you tonight. Just after this moment when Judas had kissed the cheeks of the Savior. And it says in verse 50, and what a text this is, "And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come?" And can you grasp the intensity of that moment, that after Judas had kissed the bloody sweat and the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Lord Jesus Christ looks into the face of Judas and he says, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Now the word "friend" there is not the usual word that you find for friend. It's a much stronger, greater word that is used. And it means a close companion, one who had been a familiar friend. That's what Judas had been along with the other disciples, that he chose 12 that they might be with him. And for 3.5 wonderful years, Judas was an eyewitness of the miracles and the messages of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had listened to the one of whom it was said that never man spake like this man. And what a moment it must have been when the Lord said unto Judas, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" And this surely was love's last appeal unto Judas. It was as if the Lord was saying, "Judas, wherefore art thou come? Are you going to go through with this diabolical act that Satan has put into your heart?" Now I want to consider these words with you tonight. "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" And I believe that the immutable Christ, the Lord Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And even as he asked Judas this question, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" We've come to you in a very personal, powerful, and a penetrating way tonight. And he would re-echo these words. As you have come to this service tonight, the Lord would say to you, friend, wherefore art thou come? I want to consider very simply this question in four different ways by asking four simple questions. And the first one is this, friend, wherefore art thou come? Have you come to receive him? You know, we live in a day and age when the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, is despised and rejected of men. His lovely name has become a curse word upon old and young in the society that we live. And we live in an age when the world has said, like the crowd, we will not have this man to rule over us. And the Lord Jesus Christ is rejected. But you know, the good news of the gospel is this, that it's possible for you to come as an individual in an age of rejection, and you can receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. Remember, John tells us in his gospel how that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many, listen, to that receive him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God. And that is what a Christian is. A Christian is a person who has received Jesus Christ into their hearts as their own and personal Savior. Let me ask you tonight, I'm not interested whether you go to church or whether you sit at the Lord's table or whether you've even been baptized as a child. I want to ask you the question tonight, have you received him? Friend, wherefore art thou come? Can you look back to a moment, to an hour in your experience when you passed from death unto life and you came to know Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior? You know, God's word has made the way of salvation so simple. You can stumble over its simplicity. Men make it complicated, but God has made it so simple how you can be saved and know the joy of sins forgiven and a home in heaven. And that is by simply receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know, there was a great preacher in the city of Edinburgh by the name of Dr. Graham Scroggie, a very able Bible teacher and a faithful preacher of the Word of God. And he had in his congregation a dear lady who couldn't understand the simplicity of salvation, that it was just a matter of receiving God's salvation as a gift. Christ is God's unspeakable gift. And the old pastor would preach and he would talk to her and she couldn't just understand it. You see, the Bible says that the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. And her mind was blinded. One day the doctor went out to visit her and went to the home. And eventually, as he was sitting there, the lady said to him, Dr. Scroggie, would you like a cup of tea? And of course he said, yes, that would be nice. And the lady went into the little working kitchen and she got ready a tray and everything was set. And she came out and she got a little table and she put a little white cloth over it. Then she came in with the tray and the teapot and all the rest of it ready. And she just looked at Dr. Scroggie and she said, Dr. Scroggie, would you like to give thanks? And the old doctor looked at her and he said, yes, I would. And I will in a moment. But he said, I would like to pay you for this cup of tea. He brought out a handful of coins and he said, I would like to give you something for this cup of tea towards it. And the woman was horrified. And she looked at Dr. Scroggie and she said, Dr. Scroggie, it's a joy for me just to give you this cup of tea. You don't have to pay for it. The old doctor looked at her and he said, dear, that's what I've been trying to tell you for years. It's God's pleasure to give you the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All you have to do is receive him. and you can be saved. And there and then, the light of the glorious gospel and all its simplicity shone into her heart, and she realized God's way of salvation. And she passed from death unto life, and she came to know Jesus Christ as her Savior. Friend, wherefore art thou come? Have you come to receive him? Can you look back to a definite moment, an hour, and time in your life when you reached out the hand of faith and you say, I believe, and you took Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? But then I would like you to consider this question also in another aspect, and it's this: friend, wherefore art thou come? Perhaps you've come tonight and the question would be, friend, wherefore art thou come? Have you come to reclaim him tonight? Maybe I'm speaking to a backslider in this service tonight, and God knows Ulster's full of them. People who at one time did run well, but alas, like Peter tonight, they're following afar off. And while it is true, when you get saved, you get eternal life, and you could never lose your soul, God gives you eternal salvation. Yet it's possible to backslide, to get into bypath meadow, and like Peter, to be following afar off and no longer walking with the Lord. Friend, wherefore art thou come? Thank God there's good news for the backslider tonight. The Lord can restore unto you the joy of salvation. You know, so many people are like Mary and Joseph, whom we read about in Luke chapter 2. And you remember the Lord Jesus is 12 years of age, and he's gone up into the temple to worship there, and he remains behind, sitting to the with the doctors of the law, asking questions. And Mary and Joseph made the return journey home, and it came to the end of the day, and they looked for Jesus, and he wasn't there. You'd wonder how that could happen. Well, of course, in those days when they traveled, they always traveled together in groups and in company for safety and for security. And the men would travel with the men, and the women would travel with the women, and that's the way they would go. And I have no doubt that Mary took it for granted that Jesus is with the men, and Joseph took it for granted, well, he must be with his mother. And they went a day's journey without the Lord. And you know, that's possible as a Christian, as a child of God, just to take the Lord for granted and to be like Samson and to wist not that the Lord has departed from you. And when it came to the supper time and the loop, they discovered that Christ wasn't there. And they had to retrace their steps and go back to the city of Jerusalem and search for him. And you remember in verse 48, after a long, prolonged search, they eventually found him. And they said to him, behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. I want you to underline the word sorrowing there. It's the same word that is used of the rich man in Luke 16, who lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torments. It speaks of torment. It speaks of awful suffering. And you know, when a genuine Christian backslides, my, it's the nearest thing to hell on earth itself. When you lose the consciousness of the presence of the Lord, and you can say with the hymn writer, where is the blessedness when first I knew the Lord? And you've lost your first love, and you're no longer walking in fellowship with the Lord. You know, I think of a young girl. She went through the same Bible college that I did, in the WAC, in the missionary training college. Lovely girl, school teacher. She went out to India as a missionary, served the Lord there a couple of terms on the mission field. She came back home on furlough. She was unmarried. And she met a Roman Catholic gentleman. And they fell in love, and she got married, and she turned her back on the mission field and backslid. Didn't go out into the things of the world, but my, she chose the wrong partner in life. And she eventually ended up in a mental hospital, mentally disarrayed. And the problem wasn't mental, it was spiritual. She had lost out with Christ, and she had no longer the peace of God that passeth all understanding within her heart. Maybe I'm speaking to someone tonight, and you knew the Lord and you loved the Lord and you walked with Him and you witnessed for Him and you were bright for Christ. But oh, tonight spiritually your gold has become dim and you're no longer in fellowship with the Lord. I want to tell you, friend, wherefore art thou come? Thank God you can reclaim Him, just like Mary and Joseph. And the Lord can restore unto you less than the years that the locusts have eaten. And the Lord can bless you. He can take the vessel that is marred and He can remake it again. You know, the late Reverend John Wiley, we were singing that hymn. And it says, cords that were broken can fibrate once more. And I heard Mr. Wiley as he was speaking in a service. And he happened to say that he believed that was a backslider. Cords that were broken can fibrate once more. And possibly he was right. Maybe there's someone here tonight and the cords of the joy of God's salvation is gone and you're backslidden and miserable in your sin. I want to tell you they can fibrate once more and you can have the joy of the Lord, which is your strength within your heart. Thank God there's an open door for the backslider tonight. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ, the righteous. And thank God His blood can cleanse you from every sin. Friend, wherefore art thou come? Have you come to receive Him? Thank God. For the simplicity of the gospel, you can receive Christ tonight. Praise God, tonight you can reclaim Him. There's a door of hope open for every backslidden child of God. But then could I ask you another question tonight? Have you come to release Him? Friend, wherefore art thou come? Have you come to release Christ to the crowd? And you remember this is what happened to Pontius Pilate and during the trial of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Pilate was faced with Christ in the crowd. And then eventually he released Christ onto the crowd to please the crowd and to get their pleasure. And he just released Christ to the crowd. And sad to say, there's many a woman and a young man and might have met Christ at the crossroads of life. And like Pilate, they've had to face the decision, what then shall I do with a Jesus which is called the Christ? And they've let the crowd make the decision. And the cry of the crowd has been, we will not have this man to rule over us. Crucify Him, crucify Him, away with Him. And I want to tell you tonight, if you're waiting for a moment, for a time when it's popular to choose Christ and to be in with the crowd, it will never come. It will never come. You know, some years ago, Dale Moody was preaching in great evangelistic service, and he was preaching in those words, what then shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? And as he normally did, Moody at the end of the service made an appeal, and he invited sinners to come to Christ. And he felt that night constrained three times to make the appeal, what are you going to do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? As he made the third appeal, an old man jumped to his feet and he stepped out into the aisle and he shouted out, Mr. Moody, Mr. Moody, I'll take Jesus home with me. I'll take Jesus home with me. And he came to the front and confessed his need of Christ. And praise God, he went home with Christ in his heart. I wonder, will you take Christ home with you tonight? Friend, wherefore art thou come? You know, the Bible says that the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso trusteth in the Lord shall be safe. You know, one of the things that kept me back as a young man from coming to Christ with the crowd? What would the fellows and work say, and what would they think of me if I got saved? But thank God that night when I came to know Christ and the Emmanuel Mission in Roslyn Street, God gave me grace to forget about the crowd and to look to Christ and to call upon Him for mercy. And you know the crowd, when I went back to work, and they said to me, they didn't understand, you've become good living, we'll give you a week, we'll give you a fortnight, and then they give me a month, and in the end they had to give me up. Do you know why? Because God had given me eternal life. Oh friend, don't let the crowd make the decision. You stand on your own feet, you make the decision. As for me, I'm going to accept Christ as my Savior. But then finally, could I just ask the question tonight, friend, wherefore art thou come? Have you come to resell Him? Think of it, the Son of God, the Blessed One, the altogether lovely One, sold for 30 pieces of silver. And that was the price of a slave in those days. And here Judas sold his Savior because of his lust and love for money. And you know, the sad thing is this, and it's solemn, that Judas never lived to enjoy one piece of silver or to spend it. And you remember how he said, I've betrayed the innocent blood. And the chief priests and the elders says, what is that to us? Nothing to do with us. You made your deal. You made your bed, Judas, lie in it. And Judas went out, and the Bible tells us how that he died. He committed suicide, hung himself, and that his bowels, as he fell out of the bottom of that cliff, bowels gushed out, died without Jesus as Savior. And maybe there's someone here tonight, and friend, wherefore art thou come? Are you going to sell him? I know people, and they would sell Christ for a packet of cigarettes, and they'd hold up a wee cancer stick, and they'd say, well, if I could give this up, I'd accept Jesus. Mustn't put in a cigarette before the Savior. I know others, and it's a glass on a Saturday night, and the old beer and the drink, and I would get saved only for the old beer, and they're selling the Savior for a drink. Many a man like that. You know, I think of a lady, and she attended a gospel campaign in the city of Belfast. God was moving mightily by His Spirit. And she was a well-known businesswoman in society in Belfast and had a great business. And she was invited along to a gospel mission. And as she came to the gospel mission, she heard the message of the gospel. And the Spirit of God got a grip of her heart, and she was convicted of our need of Christ, so much so that she stayed behind after the service to speak to the evangelist and to talk to him about this matter of being saved. She said to the evangelist, I want to be very honest with you, I'm a businesswoman and I make a lot of money. And she said, it doesn't all go through the books. Tell me this, if I get saved, will I have to give up this money that I make that I don't declare? And the evangelist, to put the pressure on, he said to her, dear, he says, you're like Judas. You've got to choose between the Savior and the silver. And she looked at the evangelist and she said, well, if that's the decision, if that's the choice I have to make, I'll choose the silver. And she went out into the darkness of the night like Judas, rejecting the Lord. Friend, wherefore art thou come? What are you selling the Lord for tonight? Is history going to repeat itself in this service tonight? Are you going to be like Judas and follow his footsteps and betray the Lord for the 30 pieces of silver? I want to tell you tonight, friend, wherefore art thou come? This could be the greatest moment in your life If you had only come to the cross and say, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. Will you come tonight? Old John Bunyan, the Puritan preacher, when he was preaching, he would often say, come, come, and a thousand welcomes to Jesus. Thank God there's room at the cross for you. Though thousands have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. Friend, wherefore art thou come? Oh, may God give you grace to do what's right with Christ and call upon him to be your Savior. May the Lord write his precious word upon all of our hearts.